Boker Tov, we're picking up in the middle of a discussion on Daf Chaf Bet Amud Bet, which we quoted the story of Rav coming into Bavel on a Tanit Sibur, and we originally looked at the story as a framework for measuring whether there are three or four aliyot on a Tanit Sibur. We turn to the story and note that at the end of the story, it says that Rav did not perform the Filat Apayim, although everyone else did. So we have to figure out either what was wrong or what was right, etc. Gufa, Rav, equal above a Batanit Sibur, Kam Kora Basifra, Patach Barach Chatim Vila Barach, that we all analyzed yesterday. Nafal Kuli Alma and Payu, everyone else fell on their face, the Filat Apayim, Rav Lo Nafal Alag Ape. And Rav did not. Now, my time of Rav Lo Nafal Ape, why didn't Rav fall on his face? So we have several answers, all which revolve around an Isser found at the end of Parshat Bahar that says, Ritzpa Shel Avanim Haita, that was a stone floor. V'tanya, we have the pasuk, v'evan maskit lo titnu ba'artzachem mishtachavot aleha, you are not allowed to put an evan maskit, a carved out floor of stone, to bow down to. Aleha, atam mishtachavot ba'artzachem, atam mishtachavot alavanim shel beit hamikdash, so it's only outside of the beit hamikdash, you're not allowed to perform such prostration. Kedu'ula, damar ula la'asva tor ala ritzpa shel avanim bilvan, and ula said it's only a stone floor, which is the prohibition. To bow down outside of the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore Rav had stone where he couldn't bow down. Well, if that's the case, nobody should bow down if that's the case, and Rav should have stopped them. So, Kameda Rav Haivai, the answer is that it was right in front of Rav's space in the shul where the stone floor was. The rest didn't have it. That's answer number one. So why didn't he walk around to a different spot in the shul and fall down? The answer is, well, by the Mitrach Tzibur, he didn't want to trouble the Tzibur. He knew that if he would walk there, they'd all get up and then move and make space for him. He didn't want to trouble them. And the other possibility is that really there's no prohibition of just falling on your face on a stone floor. But Rav would prostrate himself, unlike everyone else. And another statement of Ula is that the only prohibition on a stone floor is prostration. So let Rav just fall on his face without prostration. The answer is, well, Mashani Minhag, he didn't want to change his personal custom. This is a Gemara that we saw earlier, that an important person, as per the dictum of Rabbi Lazar, the Amar Rabbi Lazar, for a regular person to fall on his face, it's part of the formula of tefillah, but for an important person to fall on his face, it's not appropriate unless he knows he's going to be answered like Yehoshua bin Nun. As we see in Pasuk number 2 on the page, this is after Yehoshua fell on his face, after the massacre, as it were, in the first battle for Ai, when he fell in front of the Aron, which is the Makor for Tachanun. And then Hashem answered him. Good. So that's why Rav wouldn't do it. Everybody else could do it because they're not an Adam Chashuv. For Rav, who's an Adam Chashuv, if he knew he thought he wouldn't be answered by Hashem for whatever he was requesting, it wouldn't be appropriate. Now, parenthetically, within this parenthesis, we identify three different terms that show up in Tanakh that refer to certain kinds of falling on one's face. That is Kida, Kri'a, and Hishtachava'a, or in modern Hebrew, Hishtachavia. Tan Rabbanan, Kida means alapayim. That means to fall on your face. Shenemar v'tikol Batsheva apayim aretz. This is when Batsheva comes before the king. She falls on her face. Apayim. Kriya, what's kriya? Al birkayim. That's to fall on your knees. V'chein omer mikro al birkav. When Shlomo got up after saying his tefillah at the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash in Malachim Elah Perak Chet, it says he got up from kneeling on his knees. Hishtacha va'a, what's that? Zupi shud yadam raglayim. That is prostration. Shemar, and Yaakov says to Yosef after the second dream, do you think that we are going to come and prostrate ourselves on the ground? So you see that Hishtachava is on the land, on the ground. Good, now we have a story that we've seen several times already. Levi achve kida kame de Rebbe. Levi showed in front of Rebbe, showed how to do kida. And that evidently takes a little bit of deftness or agility. And Ve'ila, as a result of that, he became lame. Famous lame man who came to Bavel. V'ha kagar malay. Is that what caused him to become lame? V'ha amar Rabbi Lazar. Le'olam ha'yitiach adam dvarim klapim mala. A person should never be chutzpidek klapim mala. Why? D'ha asher adam gadol yitiach dvarim klapim mala ve'idla. Levi was chutzpah, because the story that we read in Ta'anit, towards Hashem, and as a result of that, he became lame. Umano Levi. So the answer is Havaha Garmalay. Both things caused him to become lame. Good. Amar v'chia bar avin, chazina levul abaye, v'rava, dematzle atzluye. I have seen that Abaye and Rava simply lean their heads to the sides, exactly what we do in Tachanun, and they don't really fall down on their face. Good. The Mishnah said that the amount of aliyot is b'yom tov chamisha, b'yom kippurim shisha, uve shabbat shiva, and it said you could add to them. Now, manitin mani, our Mishnah follows neither school of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, why? The Tanya, b'yom tov chamisha, and yom tov you have five aliyot, b'yom kippurim shisha, uve shabbat shiva, the same order we have, ein pochtin, ve'ein mosifin, you're not allowed to add to them. Tiver Bishmuel, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, has the same number system as we have, but he says you can't add. He switches the order. Says Yom Kippur has seven, Shabbat has six. Ain't pochtin man of almost even another. He says you can add, which means that our Mishnah is a mixed bag. It has the number system of Rabbi Shmuel and the possibility of additional aliyot of Rabbi Kiva. Mani ir Rabbi Shmuel kasha tosefet. Rabbi Kiva kasha shisha v'shiva. So the answer is Amarav atanu Rabbi Shmuel. Of course, one possibility would be say it's Rabbi, and Rabbi held like Rabbi Kiva when it comes to the mosifin, and like Rabbi Shmuel when it comes to the numbers. But instead, it turns out we have another version of what Rabbi Shmuel taught. The Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, b'yom tov chamisha, b'yom kippurim shisha, b'shabbat shiva, ein pochtin mehem aval mosifin alehem. Devar Rabbi Shmuel. So here we have a report in Rabbi Shmuel's name. That's exactly our Mishnah. So kash Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel. The answer is trei Tanu, libra Rabbi Shmuel. And the contradiction is simply answered. We have two versions of Rabbi Shmuel, and this version is the one that made it into the Mishnah. Now, mantan alahadatanya, there was an aphorism. People would say, Biyomtov ma'achrin lavom maharin latzeitan. Yomtov, you come late to shul and leave early. Biyom ha'kippurim, it doesn't mean earlier, that means the davening starts a little later and ends earlier. Biyom ha'kippurim ma'arin lavom ma'achrin latzeitan. Yom Kippur, you come early and you leave late. Shabbat ma'arin lavom ma'arin latzeitan. Shabbat, you come early and you leave early. Now, what's the reasoning behind all this? So Rashi points out, on Yomtov ma'achrin, because you're doing some cooking in the morning, preparation. Ma'arin latzeitan, because there's what to eat. Yom Kippur, you come early because there's nothing to prepare, and you come leave late because there's nothing to eat. And Shabbat, you come early because there's no preparation to do, but you leave early because there's lunch or breakfast. So Lema Rabbi Akiva, Di'ilei Gavrei Teira, so perhaps this is authored by Rabbi Akiva, who said that Yom Kippur has an extra aliyah, and that's why you come home later. No, Afilu Tema Rabbi Yishmael, Denafi Sidur Niyoma. Even Rabbi Yishmael would agree that the entire davening of Yom Kippur is longer. It has Nafish Sidur Niyoma. The Seder of Yom Kippur is large, is long, and therefore even if you have one more Aliyah on Shabbat, nonetheless, the davening, as our own experience tells us, is longer on Yom Kippur. Good. So now we said that you have three Aliyot on weekday, five on Yom Tov, and seven on Shabbat. Keneged mi. So the Gemara asks, what do these three numbers symbolize? So please go over Yitzchak bar Nachmani, v'chad di'imei, umar Rabbi Shimon and Pazi. So Yitzchak bar Nachmani and somebody with him, Rabbi Shimon Pazi. V'amr Rabbi Shimon Pazi v'chad dimei manu Yitzchak bar Nachmani. Either way, it's the same pair. V'amr Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, or perhaps Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani and Rabbi Shimon Pazi disagreed. Chanamar keneged birchat kohanim, because birchat kohanim, the first line has three words, the second has five words, the third has seven words. Chanamar keneged shlosha shomrei hasaf chamisha meruoi pnei melech shiva ruoi pnei melech. These are all mentioned in Megillat Esther as attendants of the king. So the king, mystically, the king in Megillat Esther is God, and so therefore you have these attendants of God who get the aliyot. Tanya Yosef Shlosha Chamisha v'Shiva Yishlosha Shomrei Asaf Chamisha Meruoi Pnei Melech Shiva Ruoi Pnei Melech. So we have the same statement in Rabbi Yosef's name. Good. Amar Le'Abaye Ara Yidna Maitame Lo Parishlan Mar. So Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, why didn't you tell me this till now? Evidently, this was late in Rabbi Yosef's career as a teacher of Abaye, that he taught him the symbolism, the 3, 5, and 7. So Amar Le Lo Havi Adani Tzirichutule. I just didn't know you wanted to know. Umi Baitu Minai Milton V'Lami Lechu. Have you ever asked me anything that I haven't answered you? Amar Le Yaakov Mino Al Rav. So now that's the end of that story. And now Amar Le Yaakov Mino Al Rav Yehuda. Yaakov the Min, who may have been an early Christian, said to Rav Yehuda, Hani Shishadim Akipurim Keneged Mi. Who are the 6 aliyot of Yom Kippur? What do they correspond to? Because we talked about 3, 5, and 7. 4 doesn't seem to be symbolic as much as one more than Chol and one less than Yom Tov. What do the 6 of Yom Kippur correspond to? Amarle, of course, based on what we learned yesterday, the 5, 6, and 7 are simply adding because the day gets more intense. But in this case, we want to find symbolism with the 6. So what are they? Kineged shisha shamdu mimino shel Ezra shisha mismolo. In this pasuk in Sefer, Sefer Nehemiah, describes Ezra standing up in the famous stand where he reads the Torah, and he has people on his right and his left, and he has six on his right and six on his left. And this, by the way, was in Tishrei. Shneimar, what's the pasuk? Ve'emod Israel sofer migdal eight asher asula davar. He stood up on the bima. Ve'emod etzlo, and saying next to him, Matityah one, v'shem atuv anayah three, v'uriah four, v'chilkiah five, masiah six, all yimino on his right. When he saw on his left, padayah one, mishal two, mikamakiah three, v'chashum four, v'chashbadna five, zachariah six, mishulam seven. Aha, and yeshiva abusi have seven. So how does Zechariah and Meshulam, the last two are really one person. But my Krah Meshulam, why is he called Zechariah Meshulam? The Mishalem Ba'ovdei, he did everything perfectly. So he's Zechariah the perfect, as it were. Good, back to Kriyat HaTorah, Tana Rabbanan. Hakol Lein L'Minyan Shiva, everyone can get an Aliyah when you're reading seven Aliyot, which is Shabbat morning. Afilu Katan Afilu Isha, even a minor, even a woman, they can read from the Torah. Aval Amru Chachamim, Isha Lo Tikrah Ba'Torah, Nekvod HaTzibur. A woman should not read from the Torah, it's a lack of Kvod HaTzibur, as if to say, we don't have men who can do this job. So now the question is, when you call seven up, does that include the maftir, or do you need a separate aliyah for the maftir? So we're going to see what the mechanics of maftir are in a second. So we have a dispute. The one who says it counts, the hakari, because he's reading from the Torah. What happens? You finish the entire reading of the Torah, and then on a normal Shabbat, you call someone else up, who repeats the last few psukim of the regular reading and then reads from the Nevi'im. That's the maftir. So since he reads, so he counts. So you can't call up a total of seven, including him. Mandi Amar, I know that. Why could Ula? Explains it as Ula. The Amar Ula, Meimam, after Benavitzer, Shikra, Batorat Chila. Why, when you call someone up to read from the prophets, does he first have to read from the Torah? And they call it a Torah. It's not nice. A guy walks up, ignores the Torah, reads from the Nevi'im. It's a lack of Kovat Torah. Since he's not doing it as part of the reading, but really as Kovat HaTorah, therefore he doesn't count as one of the seven. So Meitavei, we have a challenge to that. Amaftir b'navi lo yifchot mi'asim v'chad psukim keneged shiv'a shekaru b'Torah. This challenge is against the one who says the maftir doesn't count, right? Because after all, according to that, you need a total of eight. And this statement is that when you do a haftarah, you have to read 21 psukim, which is seven, the amount of aliyot you had, times three psukim each. In other words, the minimum Torah reading you would have 21 psukim. So you have 21 psukim of the haftarah. Nita sunva arbahavian, but if the maftir doesn't count, which means you've got a total of eight aliyot, which is what we do, then you should have 24 psukim, eight times three. So the answer is kevin ashum kovat haTorah hu kenegdo nami lo boi. Since the reading of the maftir is not really part of the reading, but it's because of kovat haTorah, it also doesn't count. You don't need to have one. Another three psukim corresponding to that. Matkifla Rava. So Rava challenges this. Vare olotechem. He's challenging now the idea that you need 21 psukim for a haftarah. Olotechem sfu, which was the haftarah in Eretz Yisrael in the old days, on Parshat Tzav. This passage, which is in Sefer Yirmiyahu, I have it on the page as Pasuk 7, is a relatively short parsha, which when they would be maftar, they would read about 10 psukim or so. So the Lohavin Asin Machad Vikarina, we read it, and it's less than 21. So how can you tell me that you need to read 21? So Yahatim Salik Inyana, that's different because the entire story is finished within those psukim. Vechal Salik Inyana lo, but when you don't finish the story, you can't read less than 21. Or Shwa Baraba, Zimin Sagin, Avikamina Kamedu Rabbi Yochanan. I was in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Vechiave Kamedu Asor Psukim, Rala Nimsiku. And we'd read 10 psukim, and he'd say, enough, stop. So Mekom Sheish Torgaman Shani, the answer is there was a Torgaman. There was somebody after each Pasuk would translate it. When do we say that you need 21 when there's no Torgaman? Mekom Sheish Torgaman, Poseik. But if you have a Torgaman, once you've read 10 Pesukim, even if you've not finished a theme, you could still stop. Good. Okay, this next Mishnah is very, very central. And it lists a bunch of items that can only be done with 10 men there. And so we'll go through the items. In porsin al shma, which most of you shown him understand means to have the shliach tzibur go up and read the birchot kriyat shma. According to some shown him, this refers to an individual going up to do so if he missed the minyan and wants to then have Birchos Kriyat Shema said out loud, so he can go on up there and do that. And the idea is that you cannot do that without a minyan. Ve'en ovrin lifnei ha-teva, that's the shliach tzibur who says the tefillah out loud. Ve'en nosin kapeyam berchat kohani. Ve'en korin ba-torah, kriyat ha-torah, ve'en mafirin b'ravi, the haftarah. Ve'en nosin mamar moshav. Mamar moshav was a custom that we no longer have, which is it's a part of the procedure of nichum avelim, which is when we come back. So we sort of accomplish it when we have the two rows at the graveside. There's a certain brachot that were said in the house of the Avel, what we call Shava brachot, brachat chatanim, and mizanim Hashem, or to say Hashem's name in the introductory formula of Birkat Hamazon, pachot me'asara, with less than 10 men. Karkaot, we'll explain when we get to the Gemara, but essentially means when you have dedicated some land to the Beit HaMikdash, and now it has to be assessed to see how much money you have to pay to redeem it, that you need tisha the kohen. There has to be 10 people, of which one of them has to be a kohen. V'adam k'yotzeben. The same thing, if you dedicate your value to the Beit HaMikdash, or somebody's value, for that to be assessed, the same thing, 10, one of whom is a kohen. Good. So now the first thing we're going to see is why a davar shebikdusha, such as barchu, such as kedusha, such as birchat kohanim, such as kriyat haTorah and the haftarah, all these things are public declarations of God's sanctity and God's holiness, and therefore davar shebikdusha needs 10 people. Where do we know that from? Menani mili amar b'chia bar Avraham Yochanan. It's a chain of words from Sukkim. The essential obligation to sanctify God's name comes from the end of Parshat Emor, middle of Parshat Emor. The Nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael, I shall be sanctified in the midst, betoch b'nei Yisrael. Kol davar shebikdusha lo yehet pachot me'asara. So that teaches you that anything of kedusha has to have 10 people. My mashma, how do I learn it from there? Tanavachia atya toch toch, because I use the word toch and I string it to the word toch in Parshat Korach. Tivachi b'nei Nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael, tivatam yibadlu mitoch ha'ida. God tells Moshe to separate himself from the evil group. That's the Edah of Korach, which was 250 plus men. The Atya Edah, Edah, but the word Edah is used in another context. When God is about to punish the 10 bad scouts, he calls them an Edah. So therefore, Edah can mean 10, and therefore it says, Mitoch, it means in the midst of 10. And therefore, when I'm sanctified in the midst of 10, Malahalan Asaraf Kanasara. So that means you need 10 people to do a sanctification of God's name. This, by the way, has very big implications for the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Anybody who's interested, take a look in the Rambam, Parakeh of Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah. It talks about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and the difference between acting privately, meaning when there's not 10 Jews, and when there are 10 Jews. Now, Ve'enosin Mamaru Moshav Pachot Me'asarav, this Mamaru Moshav that we do not have the custom of doing anymore, we do not do with less than 10. Why? Came into the Memar, Imdu Yikarim Amodu, Shvu Yikarim Shvu. They would say a process, stand up, sit down, but they would add, it would be like a very formal thing. It's a lack of propriety to do with less than 10. What's Berchat Avilim? Berchat Rechava. Berchat, they would say out in the street on the way back from the cemetery. And by the way, Avelim don't count towards the minyan. Berchat chatanim basara, but berchat chatanim, the bracha that we say under the chuppah and at all of the meals that are for the honor of the chatan and kalah during the week, in a normal case, berchat chatanim basara, chatanim in eminyan. There the chatan does count towards the minyan. Now, ve'ein mezani al-mazon b'shem pachom el-sara. Also, we don't say Hashem's name in berchat al-mazon without 10. So, came into the memory, v'arach l'eloheinu batzum el-sara l'varachar. It's also not nice when you say, we're going to bless our God, and there are 10 people there. Now, the last piece in the Mishnah talked about the assessment of land. Parsha. 10 times in that parsha it says, Al pi asher nigda yarichoto ha-kohen, says kohen 10 times. So, chad l'gufei, one is there to tell you that the kohen has to do it. V'chad l'mutei, and each one afterwards then, minimize, it cuts out, so you know that you need 10, but each time it says kohen, it says, and that's Mimayet, saying Dafka one Kohen and not another Kohen, which means you only need one Kohen out of the 10. And every other one after that is a Miut Achar Miut, and Miut Achar Miut El Rabot. So Tisha Yisrael, the Kachad Kohen. But that doesn't really work because Ve'ema Chamisha Kohen and Chamisha Yisraelim. It should be that the next Kohen is Marbeh, another Kohen, the next one is Mema'et, and you should end up with 5 and 5. And the answer is Kasha, you're right, it should be. The Adam Kayotzi Behen, Adam Mikadosh, since when has a man become Kadosh, like Karka? If a person says, my value, I am paying my value to the Beit HaMikdash. We then estimate him as what he would be worth on the slave market. The Eved Ivkish Lekarkaot. An Eved is compared to Karka, as the Pasuk at the end of Parshat Bahar says, slaves are bequeathed like land. Therefore, a slave is like a land, since we just said that land is assessed with 10 people, one of whom is a Kohen. Therefore, when we assess this person for his value as a slave, in order to redeem him, to pay his value to the Mikdash, therefore, in such a case, we also have 10 people, one of whom is a Kohen. Good. Then last Mishnah we're going to take a look at today. HaKorev HaTorah Lo'ifchot Mishlosha Psukim. When you read from the Torah, we've seen this already, you have a minimum of 3 Psukim. You don't feed the Meturgaman more than 1 Pasuk. You read a Pasuk, he translates. You don't feed him more than that because it's hard to accomplish. Uvenavi shlosha. When you're reading Nevi'im, you could feed him as many as 3 psukim. But hayushloshtan shalosh parshiot. We'll see an example of that in a minute. If the 3 psukim were all 3 separate ideas or 3 separate paragraphs, korin achad achad. Then you got to feed him one at a time. Medalgim benavi. You're allowed to skip around when you're reading the Nevi'im. Ve'ein medalgim b'Torah, but not in the Torah. We'll see an exception to this. And kamo medaleg. How much can you skip? Meaning you're rolling the parchment. So you could read from one part of Yeshayahu, and when the Meturgaman is translating the last pasuk you said, if you have time to roll to another section and read from there, that's fine. And indeed, that's something that, according to some minhagim, we do. For instance, in the Haftarah, according to Ashkenazim of Parshat Yitro, when you read from Yeshayahu and then skip a couple of parakim later, the Haftarah of Parshat Shlach, when we read about the spying of Yericho, there's other places when we do that. Good. The Gemara is Kani Shlosha Psukim Kenegan Mi. We already saw this a couple days ago. Yesterday. These 3 Psukim correspond to what? Amravasi Kenegan Toranavim Ktuvim. Right. Good. We also saw Kohen Levi Yisrael. This is all quote from the Mishnah. Kigon, what's the example? So the example is Pasuk 12 on the page. It's 3 consecutive psukim and Sefer Yeshayahu, but at least in some manuscripts, each one is a separate parsha. Etc. You could see the psukim. Now, medalgim and aviva in medalgim and Torah. We said you could skip around in aviva, not in the Torah. Or mini korei acharei mot ve'ach ve'asor. If you recall, when we studied Masechet Yoma, the Kohen Gadol would come out to the Azara, and he would read, Nizrat Nashim, and he would read from acharei mot. And then he would roll the Torah ahead to Parshat Emor, also in Vayikra, and read from Parshat Emor, the Ach Be'asor, the Lachodesh HaShvi Hazeh, and then he would roll up in Balpeh to read the second section of Parshat Pinchas. So that means you're allowed to skip in the Torah, Medalgin, right? So Vakam Medalig, Rabbi Lokasha Khan Mechdeshi Soka Turgaman, Khan Mechdeshi Soka Turgaman. Rabbi's first answer is, no, you're allowed to skip even in the Torah as long as that doesn't waste, it doesn't leave you with dead air, as it were, after the Torgaman is finished to the previous Pasuk, and now you're still rolling. But that means that you're allowed to do that bin Navi. Even the Mishnah explicitly said that even when you skip in Navi, it's only if it doesn't leave you with any dead air. I apologize, it's an old radio term. So obviously when it comes to the Torah, you're not allowed to skip even if you don't have dead air. Abaye gives a different answer. You're allowed to skip in the Torah if it's one story. So, and the one that the Kohen Gadol would read was about Yom Kippur, and that's about Yom Kippur. The one that we do, for instance, on a Tanit Tzibur, as we're going to be doing this afternoon, in the on the fast Tanit Esther and the Mincha, we read Chakun and Mincha. We read first Vayichal, and then we skip and we go to Hashem's forgiveness of Bnei Israel. This Brisa supports it. You're allowed to skip in the Torah within one theme, and in the Nevi'im, even in two themes, as long as there's no dead air. Aha, there's another point. You're not allowed to skip from one Navi to another. You can't skip from Yeshayahu to Yirmiyahu, but you can skip within the book of Shtemasar. But you have to go forward, which is why our minig, for instance, on Shabbat Shuvah, is to read the Haftarot in order, the end of Hosea, and then some people have a section in Yoel they read, and then many people end with Micha, and that's in the order that the books are presented. So everyone should have a very meaningful fast and a wonderful day, and Amir Tzashem, tomorrow we will finish the Perek on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Bet.